then Mo Bandy's first hit was she just started liking cheating songs. Very, very close similarity there. Maybe the ladies knew each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
You never can tell.
Do you know that the Supreme Court, you know, when things, all else has failed, they send things to the Supreme Court. And they have to make the final decision.
That's where it really gets screwed up.
That's where things are really bogged down. Well, the court has already made 66 decisions for this term, but there's 40 cases still awaiting decision as the term nears an end for later this month.
What have they done now?
Well, some of the things they still have to make decisions on are several cases involving freedom of speech and religion. And among them, in Hialeah, Florida, the city ordinance bans live animal sacrifices. Yeah. So they have to make a decision on whether it is, you know, legal or illegal to have animal sacrifices, because this one church there practices, it's an ancient African-based religion in which animal sacrifice is the central ritual.
How many animals do they kill a year, does it say?
It doesn't say. It's just given a little, you know. But even if it's illegal, one is too many.
Well, I don't know if it's their religion and they've been doing it for millions of years. Who are we to say, no, you can't sacrifice a goat or a cow or whatever?
Or a dog or a cat?
Yeah, well, I'm not for killing animals.
That one I'd have to hear all the thing on. I couldn't go by just a one sentence thing. I'd have to call another one. Okay, another freedom issue, religious freedom issue, is whether this center in New York, whether public schools that are opened outside groups during off hours, if they can bar religious use. You know, saying, well, you know, this place is open for public use.
Everything but religion?
Yeah, can they actually say, because it's separation of church and school? Well,
you know,
on me, that if they're opening it to the public, that takes away the state, government, school, and all that away from the public.
It wouldn't surprise me within the next 100 years in America to have religion totally outlawed.
It's beginning to look that way.
Where you can no more say the word God, you'd be killed. I'm serious about it. The way the as much separation as we have between church and state and school right now, and praying in school, and I don't know.
Well, on this one, I feel like if we've got laws saying that you cannot persecute someone for their religious beliefs or their color or anything else, then that should fall under it. That's persecuting someone for their religious beliefs if they want to use the hall one night, and it is open for public use. If they want to use it one night to hold a bar mitzvah, they should be allowed to. Now, that's my opinion on that.
One day you will not be only persecuted, but you'll be electrocuted for your religious convictions.
Okay, well, here's another religious thing. It's from Tucson, Arizona. It involves whether public school districts can provide sign language interpreters for deaf students in religious schools. Now, is that not ignorant?
I don't understand really what that's about.
Because it's a religious school, they're wondering whether the public school districts can provide sign language interpreters to students in religious schools. Hmm. I say, hell yeah. Oops.
Excuse me. Can't say that.
Yes, I think they can. Okay, a Wisconsin case, hate crimes, whether the law will allow judges to impose longer prison sentences if the offender's motivated by racial or religious bigotry or hatred. Okay.
I don't know about that.
They also have to decide on whether the U.S. authorities can continue to intercept Haitians that are out in the ocean and return them to Haiti without allowing them first into the USA to ask for political asylum.
I say send them back right now.
Well, they're saying, well, okay, maybe we need but you see, if we let them come in and ask for political asylum, we have to let them stay.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to do that, they might as well open up the door. Now, can police without warrant seize drugs they feel while they're frisking a person for weapons? Do you think they ought to be allowed to?
To actually feel you down?
Yeah, I mean, like if they stop you and they think you have a gun and they're frisking you, and they accidentally come across some marijuana in your pocket, should they be allowed to charge you with that crime?
I guess so. It's illegal to have it anyway.
Well, I think so, too. But they have to decide it at the Supreme Court. This is what's cost so much money.
Why don't they just start calling down here and asking you about that stuff instead of having all those long, drawn-out court procedures? Just dial you up and say, what should we do on this one?
Well, they also have to decide whether there is a limit to the amount of property the government may seize from convicted drug dealers.
Yeah, they can seize your car, your boat, your home, your
grandmother.
Well,
I do think there should be a limit. I think there should be a limit because if the stuff they're confiscating affects other people.
Sure.
Like if you were a drug dealer and they arrested you, I wouldn't want them taking my car and my place where I live and all my furniture and all that simply because you were doing wrong.
Mm-mm.
That wouldn't be fair.
No, it wouldn't be. But who said it had to be fair anyway?
Well, it's ignorant. We're spending a lot of money on stuff that should be decided just, you know, sitting around an open table. Open up. Have one of those town meetings Perot talked about. Open the phone lines. Okay, people, what do you think?
You ask 1,000 people, and you'd get 1,000 different opinions on it. I guess that's why they have to leave it to a handful of people.
Well, then the one who got the most votes for it, that's what you go with.
That's
by the people.
It's 7 minutes before 7 o'clock.
The Mighty 590.
DNL, Land of EM, we're KBHS in Hot Springs. The worm getter is getting people instead of worms. There's a little device that's called a worm getter. You stick it down in the ground, and you plug it into the electrical outlet in your house, and you turn on the electricity, and it sends an electrical current down in the ground and makes the earthworms start wiggling and crawling around, and they come to the surface. Then you pick them up and take them and sell them or go fishing with them.
Mm-hmm.
4 people have been electrocuted, killed dead as a doornail. Okay, honey.
I know that's not funny.
Plug it in, turn it on, zap! Flat as a flitter. I had one of those little things that I bought, 10 years ago back in Texas. It wasn't a worm getter. It was a fire ant killer. You could either plug it into the wall current or into the cigarette lighter of your car. And the theory behind it was that it would
kill
the fire ants. All it did was make them highly mad.
Yeah.
They'd run out of that hole, jump
up
on there.
Well, they loved it, too, because they eat electricity.
Mm-hmm. They'd run up and grab that little device, and it had little sparks flying out of it and everything. And they'd be a ball of ants on that little machine, and they loved it. Of course, you don't know much about fire ants here in Central Arkansas yet, but they're on the way. They are taking over Texas, and there's nothing you can do to stop the little devils yet.
No matter
what kind of insecticide, pesticide
they
you put on
them. They become immune to it.
And they love electrical outlets. They'll get down in your
wire,
eat the wires off.
Telephone.
And if it shocks them, the more they like it. They just go crazy with electricity.
Yeah, they're always... I had an electrician tell me that that's the first thing they check for there when they go to open is to make sure the fire ants aren't in there.
They'll get into your outside air conditioning units, totally ruin those.
And they kill. They kill animals, and they have been known...
Baby deer, ducks.
Yes, and some people who have, had heart attacks or something in their yards, they'd find them, and they said they might have survived, except the fire ants got to them and stung them to death. It's really... If Arkansas does anything, boy, I'd do something now, which I'm saying that. And you're going to spend millions of dollars, and you're going to find out there's nothing you can do.
All you can
That's
do,
horrible to say.
You can run them off of your property. You can get them out of your yard. They'll finally move if you mess with them enough and keep pouring enough stuff on them, but they'll just move right outside where you're no longer pouring the chemicals, and that's where they'll be.
And we're killing the earth with all the chemicals.
It's horrible. What to do, what to do.
It is. It is bad.
A minute past 7 o'clock.
This is the Mighty 590, the legendary.
That's for John, my earthquake predictor. He said there will be an earthquake tomorrow.
That's right. I haven't looked at the moon. He showed me how, and I haven't done it.
I forgot to ask him where.
I need to go out and look at it myself.
It's an age-old method that he used, passed down from generation to generation in his family.
And
he hits it, too. Not just a wild guess. He does it scientifically by looking at the moon on a full night.
And the shadows and everything. It very well could happen. You know, the Nostradamus had predicted that the big one was supposed to have happened on May 8th.
It didn't happen, though.
No, but he could be off a year.
Yeah,
or a month.
6 months. Or
yeah.
Totally. Looking at him, he looked like he was completely off.
Well, Tokyo had 4 earthquakes day before yesterday, I think it was. So that's, the whole world. Well, look what we've done to the world. We've set off nuclear bombs in the Nevada desert underneath for so long.
And if we take, what I've always wondered about, if you take all that oil out of the core of the earth, that's bound to make it a little less stable than it was before. You've created a huge hole down there with no force going the opposite direction.
So it's going to shift back in just like a thunderstorm. It's going to have to fill in, which is going to make a dent in the earth.
Then here comes a little earthquake, and that whole thing collapses in, and if it's right under a populated area, suck it right on down.
I have a couple stories here. One is about how people on airplanes tell other people, total strangers, their whole life history. And that's true.
Do you do that when you fly?
Occasionally. It depends on who I'm sitting next to. But, yeah, I've had some real good conversations with people on planes. They say this is because people who are otherwise even reserved people or maybe even shy people, they'll spill their guts because they can tell intimate secrets to somebody that they know they're never going to see again. Because
like
people aren't going to judge them.
Going to a psychiatrist, huh?
That's what they put it to. It's like on a psychiatrist's couch. That it's an intimacy that you don't even form with sometimes close friends. That you know these people, you're not going to see them again. You can tell them something that's bothering you. Like, you'll hear everything, stories from wives cheating on their husbands to...
Everything, I guess.
Everything. Hmm. Absolutely everything. And related to that, there was a airplane on April 21. It was a U.S. Air. And it had passengers of 145. The pilot let an off-duty flight attendant sit in the pilot's seat during landing. He got up and said, sit down, hon.
Where was he? How did he land the plane if he wasn't sitting down?
The co-pilot landed the plane. But they let her sit there. And there was a call to the confidential safety hotline that told him about it. And so all three have been fired. The flight attendant, the pilot, and the co-pilot. They said the co-pilot should have protested. Should have said no.
Yeah, that was a rather stupid thing to do.
Well, they said most accidents occur when the planes are either landing or taking off. It's considered the most critical phase of the flight. And the pilot lets this woman sit down. She's never, you know, been anywhere near flying a plane. She's a flight attendant. She serves drinks, you know. And sit down, hon. And the Federal Aviation Administration said every time they think about it, It
sends a cold chill up their back.
Yes, exactly. So they've all three been fired. They said it's an isolated incident. People don't worry about it. But, you know, when you stop and you think about it, you get on an airplane, your life is in the hands of those two guys sitting up there in the front. And plus the guy that is doing the navigation stuff on the ground. But, Lord, that is scary to let somebody sit there that...
You know...
They said if something had gone wrong, the time it would have taken them to try to get her out of the seat and the pilot back in the seat, it would have all been over.
They would have been history.
Yeah.
You know, getting back to the people talking to other people on flights like that, what is it about a disaster that really brings out the people like that, too? It doesn't have to be a horrible disaster, a car wreck or a house burning. You'll just stand out there and talk to strangers that you have never seen before, and under normal circumstances you would never speak to, but boy, you'll carry on a running conversation. And just really, not only about the fire, but, you know, you'll just get to talking. You ever notice that?
Well, you know what I think it is? A lot. This is from my couch section. I'm going to do a little psychological work here. Families used to be the center core of everybody, and they were large families. And if you had problems, you sat and you talked about them. There was somebody always there that you could, because I came from a large family, and you could always talk about it. There was somebody that would understand what you were saying, somebody that would listen to you and not judge you on it because they loved you regardless. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, we as a society are becoming loners. We either live alone or we get married and have one child. We've become islands.
You don't even know your neighbors anymore.
That's right. You don't know your neighbors. You don't. A lot of people don't have close friends. They have work acquaintances, and it's really becoming, a human need.
No,
we need somebody to talk to. I think that's why a lot of these hotlines, these 909s, confidential call up and talk. Mm-hmm. People are lonely. They need somebody to talk to. I think that's why they do that, because it's somebody that doesn't know them.
Maybe we can get you a 900 number.
I'd rather have an 800 number so people could call me free.
Hey, let's make a little money on it if we're going to have one.
Oh.
Crying out loud.
Okay.
10 minutes past 7, KBHS.
Twin City Motors.